you should pick this guy since Prince is dead and David Bowie's dead.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our returning guest is proprietor of Broomhilda, Byron Miller. He's here to ask us the loaded question, is faith stupid?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I'm not stupid.
And Molly Glover.
I am a meme lord.
Okay, that's stupid. And, our guest this week is Rennie shop proprietor of Broomhilda, Byron Miller.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Byron, we talked about recording another episode with you during the festival season here as we record in the Deepwood Mott Studios, Molly and my house. The question you posed was, is faith stupid?
Yes, so as we look at faith versus reason versus rationality, does faith come out as dumb? And if it does, does it have any redeeming quality? Is there a use for it if it is the opposite of thought?
So, right off the bat, I would say, is the opposite of faith reason? Because you cannot have faith and be a super unreasonable person.
I guess I'm also...
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're opposites.
I'm also wondering, are we only talking about religious faith? Or are we talking about other kinds of faith? Like, faith that people are generally good. Or, you know, like, faith that, as bad as things seem in our country, that eventually the democratic process will lead us to a good place.
So what I think we need to do there is start with definitions. Do we define faith?
Yes.
So...
A song by George Michael.
That's a good
definition. If that is what we are defining it as, I say no.
You gotta
yeah,
have
that's
it.
Not that's not stupid.
At all. It's not stupid.
Gorgeous.
Anyway,
faith, I think, is belief in the absence of or in contradiction to evidence.
Okay.
I think that's what makes it faith.
Sure. Yes.
I think other things that you might think would qualify would actually come under belief. You know, I believe.
So believing
this thing.
The sun will come up in the morning is not faith because
right.
It's done so. Every day since you've been able to perceive what the sun does.
Yes.
Therefore, there's no faith in thinking, well, it's going to happen again tomorrow.
Right. Believing that people are generally good, I actually have a good amount of evidence for that because
right.
people
right.
generally are. I can point to that and I can point to things like murder statistics versus population.
Yeah, yeah. And if you were presented with overwhelming evidence that was not the case, you're not faithful.
Okay.
Right.
Shaken.
Okay.
You probably
yeah.
change your mind, right?
So, I think...
Is faith stupid?
On its face, when you define it like that, it certainly doesn't make sense, and it's certainly illogical. And I tend to think things that are in that arena to be dumb.
It does sound that way at first blush, doesn't it? It sounds like it's irrational.
Right.
And therefore probably a bad mode of thought to take. So, going from there, what... Can we find the redeeming quality for it? Is that a bad definition of faith?
I tend to think religious faith, or religious ideas, which require faith to flourish, are, even at their best, they don't offer anything we can't do secularly. And I think that believing in nonsense is innately a little bit harmful because it promotes non-scientific thought. There are other things that do that. That's not exclusive to faith.
Sure.
There's nothing that's exclusive to faith.
Right.
Afterlife.
No benefit or hindrance to society is unique to faith.
Okay. How about this then? There are people who are able to get up in the morning and live their lives and go on about their day believing and having faith that they will be reunited with their dead loved one when they die. And that's the only thing that keeps them going.
I think that other things can provide that benefit.
I agree.
And they may provide them to those people had they had exposure to them or the opportunity to greet them, but maybe they never did because faith.
But right. But that may qualify it as a redeeming quality for faith as a mode of thought.
I think
that's true.
So I think that one of the things I like to do when I'm trying to separate the concept of faith from people's religion, which tends to get them tetchy and can feel, you know, a little bit aggressive and almost like insulting, is Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin. So Charlie Brown has unshakable faith in the Great Pumpkin.
Linus,
thank you. I was picturing Linus. I get him confused. Linus has unshakable faith in the Great Pumpkin, right? He's going to be there. He's going to wait every year.
The Great Pumpkin will be
there. Waits every year.
Yep.
Cold outside. Kid out there, you know, waiting out. You know, there's harm, you know, in that.
One day that kid's going to catch a cold and die.
Right, or something.
Sally comes out with him. Yep. She doesn't even get to trick or treat.
Wolves in the corn, who knows? Like, yeah. You know, like, it's... But so...
Is the corn adjacent to the pumpkin?
Wolves in the corn, is that a lesser known scene?
Yes, it is, actually.
Corn wolves.
Yeah.
It's the original title of Wolves in the Fall.
I always just picture pumpkin patches being next to corn mazes, because that's just my life growing up. So.
Sure.
No, that's pretty much true as far as I know.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, it's easier. Like, it's pretty easy to make fun of that, right? Like, that's literally the whole gag is making fun of Linus for having that faith, even though that's basically, you know, religion.
Right.
If you could bring it down to its core, and it's, you know, believing in something you've been given no evidence for because you feel it.
Right.
You just believe it, and even though everyone's laughing at you, and I'm sure I'm guessing Charles Schulz meant it as some sort of Christian allegory. Now that I think about it, but
it's funny how many Christian allegories can be turned on their head just a little bit.
But yeah, like I think faith is dumb in the sense that it requires you to not question.
Yep. Or refutes your answers if you get them.
Yeah.
And I think the worry here is that, you know, we fall into the asshole atheist pitfall.
Sure.
If we say faith is stupid. But when I sit down and I think about it and I evaluate it and I go, what does having faith do? What it does is it encourages people to make dumb decisions because they believe something that will not happen. Will happen.
It can also encourage people to make good decisions.
It can,
but it doesn't necessarily.
Right.
But unlike, you know, answers and facts.
Science can, plenty of awful shit has been done in the name of science.
It's true.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, faith makes you get up on a Sunday morning and go someplace and be bored for 2.5 hours. I remember what that was like. And that's a minor example.
I've been bored in morning science classes too.
Sure, it's true, but I just
faith can make you stop and pray 5 times a day.
Yeah,
it can.
And faith, I feel like,
you know, it's,
yeah,
I feel like faith does faith exists to encourage you not to question.
Yes,
that is why religion pushes faith like a drug.
Right. That's the harm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want you to ask questions.
I did ask the question in a deliberately inflammatory sort of
way. Right, right.
Yeah,
I get us moving.
I don't think people who have faith are stupid.
Nope.
I think there's a difference here. I think someone can see that. Yeah, inherently.
Smart people make stupid decisions all the time.
Or even more to the point, smart people can have faith knowing that this is, it's, yeah, I know that it's kind of dumb that I believe this, but I believe it, and that's just how I want to be, and I'm okay with that. Like, I've made my peace with that. And I think I know some Christians and other people who just define themselves as being spiritual. I know people who full heart believe in astrology.
Right.
Like, genuinely believe that when Mercury is in retrograde, it affects that their lives and their behavior to the point where they sometimes are like, I should just call in today because Mercury's in retrograde and I know that I'm going to have a really rough day. Now, that is stupid. These people aren't stupid, but it is. Like, it's to think that because the planet is in the bad spot of the gravity hole or whatever is really weird.
Oh, that fucking piece of shit cat. Sorry, we, as mentioned, we're recording in Deepwood Mott, and our eldest cat, Triskid, is a fucking asshole. Bengal.
He has faith that if he rubs his face on the Guinness towel we keep our spices on, something good will happen, I guess, because he does it all the fucking time and knocks everything over.
Like, twice a day he just crashes
this
into
This is how
spices.
You know Faith is stupid.
I hope the microphone picked up that great wow, stunk.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know if it did, but you know, compression's a wonderful thing. I think there are stupid atheists.
Oh, yeah.
Atheism is, and reason are not necessarily smart. So when we're asking, is faith stupid, we're not saying, are atheists smarter than people with faith?
No.
And because, I mean, it depends on the atheist, and it depends on the person with faith.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like any other idea.
Right.
A smart person can hold on to a stupid idea and vice versa.
Yeah.
We're judging the idea of faith.
Yep.
I've worked out at the Renaissance Festival for 34 years. That is objectively dumb.
Very dumb.
And so I...
People think they're going to change it next year.
They
have faith that if they just try hard enough, feel like there's a lot of that. Like... I think there's this interesting thing of sometimes the opposite of faith is seen as being cynical, and how the people who have faith are better. I actually encounter this often at work, where I'm a pragmatist, and so I will say, for example, like, hey, if you choose to outsource this part of the project like we did on this previous project, I think we're going to have the same problems we did before. And I have actually had people say, you're too negative. You just got to have faith in this. It's going to be fine. And guess what? Then it's not. And no one ever goes, oh, Molly, you're like our modern day Cassandra. We should have like listened to your pragmatic realism and not told you to just close your eyes and pretend that last thing didn't happen. So to me, that is really frustrating, because that is saying ignore evidence.
Yep.
Ignore experience,
right,
and instead believe the opposite thing will happen because we want it to.
For no reason
other than because we think this time, it's that definition of an insanity trope, you know,
right,
doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. To some degree, that's what faith is like.
Yep.
I mean, we've got a friend, you know, whose you know, mom is Christian Science, and that is affecting the end of her days now. And it's like, how frustrating that is to be like, no, it's going to be fine. I'm just going to keep praying, and I'm sure that this time it'll kick in, you know, and it'll change things. And that's, I mean, it's not gonna, because it hasn't. When has prayer ever worked for you about that in the past? It's, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And when I posed this question to myself in my head on the way drive over, I thought, all right, so do I have faith in anything? And honestly, I couldn't come up with anything. I came up with plenty of things that I believe.
Faith, you mean.
With or without evidence. But all of those things were subject to revision. I don't hold any beliefs that... I don't think I do. I mean, that takes more thought. But I don't think I hold any beliefs that are unshakable, that could not be disproven, any amount of evidence could not cause me to reevaluate that belief.
Not
with sufficient evidence.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we've been asked before, like, what would be sufficient evidence for you to reverse your stance on atheism?
Oh, it's
like,
easy.
What,
show me God.
Like, that's the thing, is like,
how would you
believe you weren't hallucinating, or you weren't experiencing a shared hallucination,
right,
or it wasn't some kind of fucking David Blaine style trick of illusion and
the,
some high-tech thing.
The evidence has to be strong.
Or aliens, yeah.
Right.
Like, I feel like I have...
Just another Q episode.
And all those
yeah.
are more plausible explanations. It's true.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Why does God need a starship?
I mean, why doesn't he?
Proselytization. It's an arc to spread the word across the cosmos.
Just trying to identify with us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of animals.
So, I mean,
from every species.
It's
a big spaceship.
If we put a lot of, like, stipulations and attachments to the question, and we're careful to define that we're talking about the idea of faith itself and not people that have faith and we're not, this doesn't say anything about people that don't have faith.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that faith is stupid.
Is it, I mean, we had this, I've said this before on this podcast, I say it to people all the time, I do not think, I don't dislike Christians.
No. Mm-hmm.
But I hate Christianity.
Right.
Sure.
And it's like, you can be a Christian, you can be a good person, I don't dislike you in any way, but I will still hate what you believe. That's the separation there.
Yeah, well, I've talked about this. My mom got really upset with me a few years back when she was like, well, you don't like religion, but you don't care if someone's religious. I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, well, you don't think less of someone for being religious. And I was like, yes, I do. And she's like, Molly, that's terrible. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, a little bit, not a lot. It doesn't mean I think they're a bad person. But like, if I find out someone is super, super religious, a little bit, I'm kind of like, oh. Like, it just changes how I think about them a little bit. And I just think I'm a little bit of me is like, oh, this person is willing to be completely, like, you know, faith, that sense of like taking everything on faith.
I feel that way about anyone that has any nonsense beliefs.
That's,
like,
yeah.
If they believe in astrology, yeah.
Homeopathy.
If they think, yep, that Batman versus Superman is a good movie,
if they think,
like,
that vaccines cause autism,
yeah.
No,
anyone
but for
who
real
believes nonsense stuff,
I
kind of think a little bit less of them.
It definitely takes you down a notch. Them down a notch.
I don't think they're a bad
opinion.
Person.
No?
I don't think they're dumb. I don't think whatever. It's just
I've got very close friends who are not just woo believers, but MLM woo peddlers,
yeah,
that I have to just like ignore that aspect of their lives and be like, you know what, we're still cool, we're still friends, we'll just never talk about that. And
yes, they
and
have
like,
faith that they'll make money off it
or whatever, like
faith that the water that they're diluting by walking it past a flower will do something.
Yep. Or people who have faith that by tithing they're guaranteeing a place in heaven or
sure,
whatever else. Like I just generally, I am very good at compartmentalizing, and that is, I think, a very necessary thing to be friends with people you disagree with, and to be friendly, and to still have people in your life that maybe, like, it's important to have people in your life that challenge you, and that you're not in an echo chamber, but it's also important to recognize when that challenge isn't gonna work for anybody. Like, it's not gonna make my friend feel better about herself if I am like, you are being suckered by your nail wrap company, and you are going to lose $10,000, and no, I'm not gonna buy any nail wraps, even
yeah,
though you are begging me and saying that you need money and you're like so broke, like, I'm sorry, like.
But it'd be nice for you to be prepared so that when they say, do you think my nail wrap company is taking advantage of me? You can say, yes,
exactly,
they are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But there are bad ideas that we don't owe any time or understanding to. Like, we don't have to be like, no, maybe this racist is a good,
yeah,
person, and
sure,
they have some other good things to say.
I'm not going,
like,
to listen to someone who tells me that because I'm a woman I'm inferior just because that's just like biological, or like, I if I'm not a mother then I'm not fulfilling my womanhood.
Yeah, I don't know transphobes,
right,
taught my listening time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time when I see that someone holds an opinion that I or a belief that I think is dumb or just silly, I can compartmentalize as that's their problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you believe this stupid thing, but that's all on you. That doesn't affect me at all. Until it's something like the racism or the transphobia,
yes,
or something like that.
Yes.
When your horrible opinion or belief affects society as a whole or me.
So even though 9/11 truthers are objectively dumb,
yes,
their belief doesn't really affect me.
Unless they're
I
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Unless they have a platform.
We're sure.
Yes.
See, now,
that's the thing. And then
but,
now we're then we get to that. Yeah.
Right. Now you get to a platform. Now you get to people supporting and enabling a culture of disinformation and all of a sudden truth and what's real doesn't matter because anyone can fucking say anything and there's no standard.
And
yeah, the whole nonsensical, my opinion is just as good as yours, you know, mode of thought, which is
mm-hmm,
just dumb.
Yeah.
Like that, there's that cartoon where there's a number painted on the floor, and there's two people standing on either side of it, and one's like, that's a 6, and the other one's like, that's a 9, and the caption,
yeah,
on the cartoon is like, you see, it does it like facts can change depending on where you're standing,
depends
and then
on your point of view.
There's a follow up on that that's like, no, Someone painted that fucking number and they meant it to either be a 6 or a 9. Like, when they painted it, they were like, I'm painting the number 6 on the ground.
If you evaluate it in context, yeah, you'll probably be able to figure out what number they were looking for.
Or they were like,
next, wrong. Or, yeah, next the wrong
to a
house.
7, is it next to a 7 and an 8? You might be able to figure out which number.
Or someone painted it and was like, this is going to fuck with some people, which, in which case, that is also happening. Like, it's, so that's this concept where, that we're in this, like, post-fact society where your opinion is as good as mine, and that's all fact.
But one of those people is about to knock on the wrong door.
Yes. Right. Yes. Or really make a mistake in bed.
And so I feel like that's
yeah, it's 6 and oh yeah.
That's the problem with faith, even though in general I feel like people can have their religion and believe what they want to believe, and as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it's pretty benign. But then again, believing in things without proof and encouraging people to believe things without proof is, I think it's undeniably harmful. Like, look at our current situation.
I believe you are correct.
Politically, yeah, like, it is
inherently.
I'm not blaming that on religion and that particular faith, but it is the same problem. It's believing things without.
People have faith in 45. People have faith in him.
Yeah.
Faith that he is an amazing business person, faith that everything he says is true.
In spite of and in
yes.
Yeah, all evidence.
Yes, he can be drinking a glass of water in front of cameras and then say, I didn't just drink water, I didn't do anything. And there's people who would be like, oh man, he's the master.
Right.
He's so smart. And it's super scary.
Look at what a good deal maker he is. And you're like, what?
So in that sense, I think, yes, faith is stupid. And I think that's why I was, to get back to that whole Great Pumpkin thing, is like, if you can divorce it from the concept of people's religion, which always is a hot button topic, if you can, you know, if you can put it to the concept of, you know, politics or something else, you know, people are more likely to, I think, see that point and understand that point. Rather than, well, no, but I believe in Jesus because I feel him. And it's like, cool, I'm glad you feel Jesus. Good for you. That's great. But that doesn't mean you get to decide about bathrooms.
I thought Jesus was without sin.
Like, yeah, yeah. But it's like, that doesn't mean you get to say that, you know, that transgender people shouldn't have a right to exist, or that women should stay in the home, or whatever else you want to say because you feel Jesus in your heart.
I should have my rape baby because... God,
right.
God,
or any baby for that matter. Yeah. I don't even need to get raped. I just don't want to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we at a consensus?
I think so.
Do we...
So I guess the follow-up to that, consensus is that, yes, rape is dumb, but...
No, faith.
Rape
is also dumb.
Rape is also dumb.
Rape is super dumb.
Yeah. But yes. Faith is also dumb.
Yeah.
Faith is dumb. But let's be nice to faithful people about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't entitle us to be assholes.
As Nick said on the previous episode, you can't choose what you believe all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So,
And it's not productive to walk up to someone who's faithful and say, I think faith is stupid.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to convince anyone. You're not going
to
endear yourself to anyone.
Yeah.
So, if you have faith, please don't listen to this episode. Because
but maybe
too late.
You want to be nicer to you.
Maybe analyze your faith just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
it's
go out of your way to lead an evidence-based life in all your other regards.
Try a dash of rationality on the side.
Just remember,
see how you like it.
Just remember, blind faith means your eyes aren't open. So just keep that in
there
mind.
There you go.
Not a dig on the blind.
Yeah.
Sorry, blind people.
Byron, you have... five questions for us.
Five questions for us.
We're all going to go around and answer.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Question number one. Pizza, New York or Chicago?
Oh.
New York. 100% New York.
Right.
Big foldable slice. Coal-fired if possible. Blacky, crust all bubbliness, delicious.
I'm going to agree, but I feel like I need to state, I've never actually had like a Chicago deep dish pizza ever. But... I know what it is, and I've seen it, and I'm pretty sure I'd still prefer, like, a wide floppy slice that's thinner, but I'd also like to try it sometime.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the answer to this is complicated. Normally, New York-style pizza. However, if it is raining, Chicago-style deep dish.
If it's raining.
If it's raining.
Because you can hold it over your head?
No. It's just like bad weather is deep dish weather. That's the rule in my household.
It's Italian shepherd's pie, really.
It is. Yeah. It's just like bad weather, deep dish weather. Yeah.
Having lived in both New York and Chicago, I prefer New York because I would like to buy a pizza, not a loaf of bread with pizza toppings on top of it.
Word. And then the sauce on the top? Get out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
No, the sauce on the top is great because I can remove it, and we discussed in a previous episode what
I was going to say. I couldn't believe that you were opting for the...
You just want all of it.
You just want fucking cheese pizza. Bread.
Yes! Anyway.
Just get cheese bread.
White pizza? New York style?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Everything Tim eats is white. That's my question, too.
Hey-o.
Her name is...
Is a Star Trek-style socialist economy possible or even desirable?
Are we talking like United Federation of Planets?
Nobody has to work.
A post-scarcity, no monetary society is...
When you only need money for those Ferengis.
Not with humans.
I think it is possible now... I think there is enough wealth in the world to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if every billionaire just gave their money away.
I think if there was a global plague type crisis that wiped out a significant portion of the population, and then the wealth was redistributed kind of de facto because of that. But also not so much the wealth, but the resources, like just food and minerals and, you know, fuel and things like that. I think with our current population, I don't see how it's feasible, but like in a Battlestar Galactica type place, you know, type
in situation. In a closed system.
That's the thing is, like, I just don't see how globally we could make that happen.
It depends on how we handle scarcity with the things that are actually scarce and not the things that are... the scarcity has been inflated or are not scarce.
Manufactured scarcity.
Like, there's no fucking... like, diamonds shouldn't be worth anything, right. Like, at all.
They are not scarce.
They are not scarce.
Or and valuable.
We make them now.
Yep.
But,
we just make them.
There's not a huge lot of reason for us to be super reliant upon, like, fossil fuels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we had a really dedicated global effort towards renewable energy, we could achieve 100% renewable energy.
Which we will as soon as fossil fuels are basically gone.
And the fossils who are in charge of them.
It would be too late. It would be too late by that point. But, so, I mean, like, some things, yeah, but I feel like the power structures are too entrenched and too old and too wealthy for it to ever happen, ever. And I think it's a lofty and noble thought, and I don't know if it's good or not. I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like what Star Trek did was they created a circumstance in the human condition where that was the only viable solution. And the Federation existed before humans basically took it over.
What if there was a plague that only killed people who were assholes and like kept everybody who was like in, like, it was like, oh,
everybody in this room would be gone.
No, not that kind of assholes, but the kind who are like, no, like, I'm gonna be a billionaire someday, so I think billionaires are good for America. It's like, you work at Quiznos. Yeah, but I'm working my way up. Like, okay.
You need to work your way up to own a Quiznos.
We need to have a conversation about wealth versus money. Like, you have no idea. People don't, like, I had a fight one time with my uncle because he was like, these 99%ers, these 99%ers are coming after, you know, people like us with our money. And I'm like, people like us? Because of what? Because of your $100,000 a year salary? Do you have any fucking idea what the 1% is like?
Damn.
Your entire net worth could disappear from their bank balance and they wouldn't know. Their accountant would have to tell them.
That's how much money they have. Admissible rounding error.
Yeah, like, you're not in the 1%. That's so ridiculous.
My answer is it desirable? To some extent, yes. Although I do believe that there are people where a reward-based life is necessary. That the idea of a life that's just, I can do whatever I want, there's no money, you know, I think that there are some people that psychologically can't handle that.
Yeah.
And
rewards and incentives don't have to be monetary.
They don't. But I still think that system could be problematic for some people.
Communism looks great on paper.
Unlike capitalism.
Quote from the Soviet Union that was the government pretends to pay us and we pretend to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that problem. I don't know.
I got a place like that.
I don't know that it could work perfectly.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't believe humans as we are now are capable of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, was that
so?
Two.
That was two.
Just two.
That was kind of a long one there.
Yeah.
Number three. Why are the Star Wars prequels so bad?
Because George Lucas wrote them and didn't have his wife helping him. No. and because I think because of the late 90s, early aughts special effects that were like, we can do all this cool stuff. And I think he was just trying to overcomplicate a lot of backstory that didn't need it. Midichlorians. Honestly, they're not that bad. Like, the story is good. Like, the story of Anakin Skywalker, like, the reasons for everything, but the writing is so fucking terrible that it just sucks all of the energy out of the story.
I don't know. I'm not sold on the fall. You know, I didn't buy it.
If you had the same timeline and the same, like, tentpole events and gave it to a good writer and a good director... That could have been good trilogy.
Well, sure.
Maybe.
Then it would have been The Godfather.
If she hadn't, it's just such hokey shit. Like the sand is rough and it gets everywhere. Not like your skin. You're like fat.
She died of a broken heart.
Like just all the, you know, there was a world at one point where the last thing we were ever going to see Darth Vader say was, no! And that world isn't ours. And that's a good thing.
In some alternate universe, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And actually, Pat, my wife, is very fond of saying that the best Star Wars prequel film is The Godfather. Because The Godfather is the story of Anakin Skywalker going from being good to being evil. And every step along the way, he believes he's doing the right thing.
The actors were good. The casting was good. The writing was just so bad.
Ewan McGregor, he was so good.
Ewan McGregor was good.
I've never seen such good actors.
Hayden Christensen was actually really good. People were just mad because they didn't want their they didn't want Darth Vader to be a whiny bitch. Darth Vader is a whiny bitch. That's the thing.
Luke Skywalker was a whiny bitch. Kylo Ren's a whiny bitch.
That's exactly it.
The Skywalker men are whiny bitches.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And like,
that's how we know that Rey is not a Skywalker.
Yeah, and I think that if there was some, some more critical thought put into the fact that like the Jedi's use child soldiers. And like that there, I said Jedi's, I know, I'm sorry, that there's child soldiers involved with the Jedi, and that, you know, the Sith, the fact that there's this, you know, thing of two, but like why they split off, like there could have been some really cool stuff in there, and instead there wasn't, and there was Jar Jar Binks and there was midichlorians and
I think you're familiar with the Highlander.
Yep.
Okay, movies, all right. So Highlander 1, fucking great movie.
Right.
Highlander 2, I bring this up a lot as an example for things. Highlander 2, why is Highlander 2 bad? Because they decided they needed to explain everything that happened in Highlander 1. Highlander 1 didn't need an explanation. We didn't need to know why they're immortal or why magic and why swords and why churches and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
The prequels explain a whole bunch of shit that nobody fucking asked for.
Yep.
Nobody really needed to know.
Yep.
And then they do it.
It's the Force. It doesn't need to work biologically.
Right. Yeah.
Better
it's space fantasy. We don't need fucking reasons. We've accepted space magic.
I've always said the biggest problem with the prequels is it focused on the wrong story. We all know Anakin's going to fall. So spending three movies making us hope it's not going to happen, not going to do any good. We all know it's coming. Anakin's gonna fall. You needed to tell a different story.
I will disagree because I liked knowing how Anakin fell. I liked seeing how Annie, how he went from Annie, young cute kid who was like Jedi, who seriously was like gonna be you were the chosen one, you know, like all that, how that happened. I was just disappointed that all it was that like, it was basically racism and he was mad because some people killed his mom.
And then
he wanted to keep his girlfriend safe.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's I think that it was a good story to tell. I just wish that there had been some side stories along with it.
The more interesting story of the prequels is how Palpatine came to power. That is the good story in the prequels. Like that is the good shit.
And there's an actor who managed to muscle some good performances through.
That's the good shit in the prequels, but it's basically an afterthought in most of them.
It's a plot.
Yep, that's the thing, and that's the problem with George Lucas's writing.
In my mind, the prequels needed to be a chess match between Yoda and Palpatine. And they were not. They were not. And I was like, I know Anakin's going to fall, and that's part of the story. But by making it the central part of the story, rather than giving me the idea that maybe, just maybe, Yoda could have won.
I will say there's some dope fucking fights in the prequels, guys. Good fights.
The first time Yoda opens up a can of Jedi whoop ass.
That fight between Darth Maul and Obi-Wan is so good. No, Qui-Gon. And Darth Maul.
That's great.
For sure.
Anyway.
That song might be the best thing to come out of the prequels.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Anyway.
All right. Question four.
In Infinity War, was Bruce Banner actually Loki?
Oh, that fan theory.
Yeah.
That occurred to me as I was walking out of the theater.
It's been going around.
Because he didn't change.
It's got a little traction.
That's a...
Loki
famously not dead when he's supposed to be dead.
Right.
But couldn't Loki change?
Yes. So,
but he still wouldn't be able to clobber things like the Hulk could. You know, he wouldn't make a very convincing Hulk. He could look like the Hulk, but I don't think
because his magic is deception. It's illusion.
It's a glamour, not a grammar.
Here's what I'll say. If it's Loki, I think it's a cheat.
Yeah.
Because there's the time when Banner's in the Hulkbuster armor. There's nobody in there but Banner, and we see Banner, not Loki. And then you're just cheating. Because you know if you showed that it's Loki, which is what it would be in the Hulkbuster armor, nobody can see him. If you showed it was Loki, then you'd be like, shit, we just gave it away.
I don't think he's Loki. I'll just say definitively, I don't think so. I think that he couldn't change because he got the absolute shit beat out of him and it scared him. And it's the first time that that's ever happened to Hulk. And he doesn't know how to deal with it. And he's suffering from, like, basically some PTSD. And he's too afraid to come out again. Because all that's ever happened when he comes out is either he goes crazy and kills people that he didn't want to kill. And then he gets yelled at and then punished, you know, and hurt and imprisoned. Or this last time he came out and he just got his... He just got fucking wrecked.
Hand it to him.
And I think that all together has made him be like, you know what? You know what then? Banner hates me. You know, like everyone hates me. We're living in a world where I'm not even invincible. Like, fuck this. Why would I even bother? Let's just let Banner handle it all.
The whole thing with the Hulk is dealing with emotional trauma or emotional problems and feelings. Like that's the nature of the Hulk. Like that's the character. Is how does a man deal with his rage when his rage is embodied?
And so
basically, like, the Hulk is toxic masculinity.
Not only would it be cheap as far as the storytelling goes, but I think why would it be something more complicated than something that fits the entire history of the character, which is tied to emotion.
Agreed.
And this is some sort of emotional dysfunction.
And control.
It just fits everything to do with the character and the very long history too well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hope we solved that problem for you.
If we're wrong, though, I mean, I'd watch it.
I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah, I won't walk out of the theater if we're wrong.
Question five.
Mm-hmm.
Ninjas or pirates?
Ooh.
I'm gonna base this on teeth. I find people with bad teeth. It is one of those appearance traits that I have a very difficult time getting past.
Mm.
And pirates have really bad fucking teeth.
Not famous for good teeth.
It's and true. I don't know if ninjas have bad teeth, but I know pirates do, so I say ninjas. There we go.
I'm going to go historical and say that we're talking about like shinobi, since clearly ninjas don't exist. But pirates are horrible human beings that quite literally rape, burn, and pillage innocent people. Whereas there is a code among the shinobi and the ninja.
To brush their teeth.
sure. But also to only, I mean, they may, whether they were being hired or not, there is a code there, and they're usually the people that they are targeting are targeted for a reason and aren't just collateral damage or because they fucking feel like it, which is what pirates
ninja
are.
Ninja were guerrilla warriors that were rising up against, they were downtrodden folk who were resorting to their tactics because they didn't have...
Sent to kill, but not innocent slaughter, and not to like... Yeah, I mean, there's more of an honor code there than I think pirates. Oh!
Because there's totally honor in pirates. Pirates are the fucking, most democratic floating people around in how they split, in how they're...
Among
they sign
themselves.
Contracts. No, you're talking about like weird... You're talking about raiders, not pirates.
Like
pirates are like corsairs. Mm-hmm. Pirates are...
Okay.
Pirates have a contract from a country...
So you're talking about privateers.
Which are what pirates are.
You're not talking about like pirates in the sense of like what they became at the end. What they became at the end were like
Blackbeard. Blackbeard did not have a country.
That's true.
Yeah.
Blackbeard.
That's because they were destroying their entire way of life in the name.
I'll take early pirates over ninja. Yeah. All right.
Jack Rackham, the gentleman pirate. Like,
I will take Jack Rackham over any ninja. That is such a true fact.
Anne Bonny. Yeah.
You make an interesting point, but I bet he still had bad teeth.
Of course they did. They were British.
Yeah, it was the fucking Baroque era. Everyone had bad teeth.
If they had teeth.
Right. But I think to be like a privateer would be dope.
Now, what if you had to be one or the other? You hate boats.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think ninjas are overly romanticized.
I think everything
especially,
is, yeah.
Especially by
yeah.
white
so
folks.
So are pirates. I mean,
Well, sure.
Sure.
But I think...
I'm torn.
Yeah.
Also, my other argument for ninjas is if there's a talk like a pirate day, but if there was a talk like a ninja day, everybody would just shut up, and I don't think that's bad.
You make a valid argument.
So what's your choice?
Pirates, I think they dressed better.
Pirates do dress better.
There are lots of fancy
buckles.
See?
Mm. Pirates, you could be a doctor, or a carpenter, or a... Like, you could have a skill that you practice and you just do it on a boat.
It's true.
And like what are you? I am a cook, but I'm a pirate cook. I cook for people on a boat. Like, I cook a lot of fish. I make a lot of stuff out of these barrels back here that are slowly going
I'm changing my answer. I'm going pirate. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm going full pirate. And the more I think about the buckles and the salt pork and the hard tack and the ropes.
And the lucre.
And the cursed islands and
what's being a ninja?
I'm a big fan of the letter X.
Blunderbusses, by the way, are pretty cool.
Being a ninja is just going to get you killed by your local constabulary when they crack down on you for standing up to the.
Can I be a man if I'm a pirate? Though I would like to not be a woman. Is that all right? Is that cool?
I
would rather not be. I don't want to be a pretty boy either. I want to be like a really rugged, unattractive man, and then I'll be a pirate. I just don't really feel.
I'm still sticking with the teeth.
Like I'm still on Team Byron. Rape is stupid. So let's just.
Yeah. We're not rapist pirates.
Oh, we don't say. Oh, we don't say.
No, it is disrespectful, yo.
Exactly.
Greg Dano,
we'll be the feminist pirates. That's right. That's all right.
I'm into that. The democratic feminist pirates?
Yeah. Cool. Those are good questions, Byron. Yeah,
thank you for your questions, Byron. And thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure.
We love having some of you ready folk on when you're here in Minnesota for the season. It's always a great time.
Always.
If you are in Minnesota at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, or if you're at... Are you Broomhilda everywhere? Is that the name of the...
Almost everywhere, yes.
Almost everywhere. If you look for
your...
Where are
you going next?
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. North Carolina's next. So if you're in that area, keep an eye out for Broomhilda. Fancy wands, fancy staves and brooms, and they'll even etch your initial on them and do some customization there. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God. We have a Patreon exclusive episode coming up that we're working on soon. Any patron of any level will get to listen to that when we get it done and uploaded. Otherwise, we'll have another episode next Tuesday. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good week.
I got a hip for you. I got a hip for you. Because I got the good one for you.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
You look weird with your weird tail laying down off your butt.